The biggest sports stories of the week.
I liked an Instagram post this week that I didn't mean to and unliked it pretty quickly. No rump shaking. Did you say that off the air, Kyle? You guys say that on the air. It was not rump shaking. It was not anything inappropriate. Jason, do you ever unintentionally like a rump shaking tweet?
He's the married man. Don't answer.
And then have to unlike it?
I have not. Yeah.
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
I understand the Packers' vision, and it was similar to the way Ted Thompson was with the drafting of Aaron Rodgers. But regardless of how Jordan Love's career turns out, in my heart of hearts, I believe that he cost the Packers at least one, if not two, Super Bowl appearances based on how he handled the 2020 draft.
This is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO Craig Karmazin.
And good morning. Oh, what a night into the morning it was for the state of Wisconsin and Green Bay Packers fans as the 2023 season comes to an end in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs in San Francisco. Feels like the same old song in a lot of ways, San Francisco getting the better of Green Bay in the postseason, but this was so different, and what an incredible, incredible ride we all went on with the Green Bay Packers that was the biggest over-deliver that we've ever seen. It was the most unexpected season since Don Majkowski jumped in and played for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, that's how unexpected what happened this year was. And not just this year, if you go back to when passive-aggressively the Packers got rid of Aaron or Aaron got rid of himself and all that. We're not talking about the past today, right? It is such a good year in so many ways. It's such a great year. It's such an outstanding year. It's such an unbelievable year. It doesn't make last night's loss. It does make last night's loss less painful. It makes last night's loss less painful. Now, you never know. You're not guaranteed you're back there next year. You're not guaranteed an NFC championship bid ever. You're obviously not guaranteed a Super Bowl bid ever. But it has to make it feel better. This isn't the team on their last leg. This isn't the team that went all in. This is the team that's on its way up. And yes, this team should be in the NFC championship right now. But what this team did over the last 2 months is miraculous. Absolutely miraculous. We would have said the postseason would have been miraculous, much less the fact that this 3-6 team outplayed the number one seed in the NFC on their home field after dominating the number two seed. This is an incredible, incredible season. Everyone involved at the Packers organization should feel unbelievably accomplished in what this team did this year. That is everyone in that organization, including the defensive coordinator, including anyone else you want to criticize today. This is an amazing, amazing season that deserves so much praise. Also, the next 2 hours is going to be our opportunity for you to share anything you want to share. This is going to be me being lazy talk show host today. This is me saying, we're not even doing the 7 at 11. This is me saying, call, text in, beginning right now, 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. I was up last night watching Homer and Gabe and Jason Wilde at 1 in the morning as you all were still calling and texting and everything. And yeah, I have it right up here. I have the text line up, 800-990-3776. It's 1-800-990-3776. But also, I'd rather hear from you. Call. Let's have a conversation. Share your thoughts on what happened last night. Share your thoughts on what happened this season. This was a season for the ages. And as I said, yeah, I think because there's been so much success, it's fair to say that the Don Majkowski year may have been more unexpected than this year. I didn't even live here then, but that might be the only other year that was more unexpected. Because don't even tell me that it was when the Packers won the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. Because when the Packers won the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, I get it. The team was 8-6. I get it. The team was 8-6. And then they went on an incredible run. But they were never more than a 4-point underdog in any playoff game, right? They were a 2.5, 2.5, 3.5 point underdog in those three games on the road on that run. This was different. This was a team given no chance to make the playoffs, given no chance to win if they got there. And the season they had, the way they did this, is one for the ages and is incredible. All right, let's talk. 800-990-ESPN. 800-990-3776. I'm not going to go to the phones first without welcoming in Kyle Wallace from Kyle Brust and Nortman. Kyle, how are you? Have you recovered?
Not well.
Yeah. I don't expect you to be well, despite all the things I'm saying, because it was painful. They should have won. It sucked. But it was so good. Like, it was so good. They were more than equals to the San Francisco 49ers on that stage last night, right? That wasn't, if the Packers almost stole one. That was the opposite, right?
Yeah, I mean, I understand all the, I need more time, but at the end of the day, the Green Bay Packers were very close, and they played very, very well last night, where they looked like the better team, the more prepared football team, if you ask me. They had opportunity to go to the NFC Championship, and unfortunately, it was just a little wide left, and here we are. So,
well, we're talking to Mike, who works in auto parts sales. He's going to kick off our conversation this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Guys, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Going to vent a little bit, I guess, here. Obviously, yeah, it was a great season. It's going to take me a while to get to that point right now. It's just, it's a tough one. They were clearly the better team last night, without a doubt, and they should have won the game. My problem is LaFleur, you know, saying all these things about having the confidence in his team and in the locker room. They knew they were going to win the game, but he didn't coach like they should have won the game. Going for it on the fourth down early in the game when they needed points. You know, points were critical in this game. They should have kicked the field goal. And then why do you do a sneak with Love when you got the best running back in the league that could have gained a yard? You know, much easier. I don't get it. You know, he didn't coach like he really felt they were going to win the game.
So, Mike, I actually, you know, as much as people are going to talk about the field goal, I thought that sequence was bigger, even though it was earlier, the idea of going all the way down there and getting no points. But I don't think they should have kicked a field goal. I don't understand how they didn't review the spot. First of all,
that too. He should have challenged it.
The spot was so bad, and I think they went so fast that they didn't realize. And in a postseason game, the possessions are so big. And then Jordan Love, who was, I thought, again, great last night, despite two bad interceptions, and I thought he was really bad on that sneak. Like, I thought that was just bad running.
They rushed it. I mean, they rushed it.
Yeah.
You know, if they would have taken their time and, you know, maybe got someone bigger in the backfield to push him, you know, like the Eagles do or whoever.
Yeah, that is killer. That is killer. That possession, right. I hit on it. That's third and one, fourth and one is along with the dropped interception right in the first half. I mean, like,
sure.
Savage
had a really bad night, not just the dropped interception. He whiffed on
the missed tackle on McCaffrey. Yeah.
I mean, that would have been a 3-yard gain. He had him wide open, dead to rights, and he looked like a fool trying to tackle him. And that wasn't the only one. So anyway, I can't blame the kicker. Yeah, he missed. He was off by a couple inches. You know, that wasn't the reason they lost the game.
And by the way, I look at that the same way you do, right? I look at it, Kyle. I want to get Kyle's thoughts. And thanks for the call, Mike. I don't think they lost because the kicker. I mean, the 49ers, they missed the same field goal.
No, we blocked their field goal. No, the kicker missed a field goal. A 41-yard field goal in the NFL should be a chip shot.
He missed the field goal.
There's no excuse for that.
How many yards was that?
It was a 52-yarder that got blocked. Yeah. It's one thing to get blocked. It's another thing to sit here and have a clean snap hold and you be able to kick a 41-yard field goal.
That was a bad kick that got blocked. It was the same thing. You don't just jump up that high and block a field goal.
Listen, it might have been a line drive. It might have been a little bit lower, but absolutely not.
Both teams had the same field goal happen. No. Don't put this on a specialist. Just because you work with Nortman, don't make this about the kicker.
If y'all think that this field goal kicker wasn't the Achilles heel for this team, if y'all think the kicker that missed the most field goals in the whole NFL, stop it. He makes a 41-yard field goal. That's what you get paid to do, to make a 41-yard field goal. It was up in the air. He hooked it to the left, and he folded under pressure, and if that happened,
we'd probably be what, in overtime?
No, you have it's a whole different game, the field position game, because you kick the ball from the, I believe it's like that they were from the 30 or something like that. They kick the ball rather than having more points, maybe being able to pin them back a little bit. The mindset is so different. You know what I'm saying? For a defense, the mindset is different. They're talking about on the broadcast, well, you want to take timeouts just in case they score, versus when you're up by 7, you're not worried about that.
Right.
You could play differently. You could play more aggressively.
Absolutely.
The field goal kicker, he was not the only reason we lost, but he was a big reason why we lost.
Jim, you're on Sunday Karma. Morning, Jim.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, rather than focus on, and I'm sure you're going to get enough of it, picking apart the game last night, although I will say this, that with the fourth down, I question the play call given San Francisco was ready for that sneak. And that's the main issue I have with that play call. But getting beyond the game, you know, I didn't think we've been cherry picking 9 games to come up with great stats, suggesting that Love is one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And that's fine. I think he's our guy. I'm not questioning that. But practically speaking, can we get some positive out of this negative performance by him last night and the team by maybe saving a few million when we negotiate a contract with him? Because he didn't come through for us. That was a terrible decision, and the pass was bad. He was going to make that throw. It was once again short. It should have been much longer. So can we use Love's poor play and decision-making to practically benefit from maybe knocking a few million off a negotiated deal?
I think that will happen, right? I mean, I think if he had won that game last night and drove them down for a game-winning touchdown, right, he would have been a top 3 quarterback. People would have looked at him already in the NFL. So, yes, it'll save them a few million dollars, but in the scope of the salary cap, a few million dollars is pretty immaterial at this point. And Jim for the call there. I mean, that was a terrible decision and a terrible throw, right, Kyle? I mean, the last one, it reminded me, I was there in Vegas when he made the throw against the Raiders, and you hope you kind of learn from those kind of moves, but this was a new situation for him. I thought, you know, not only did he play unbelievably well in Dallas, I thought he overall played well last night. There could have been more picks than the two.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. It's not just the Packers who dropped potential interceptions. It was a bad weather condition game. I don't understand still how it could look like it's not raining, and then they show one other view and it's pouring.
Yeah, crazy.
Have you ever understood that? I still don't understand how that is.
The cameras nowadays, they do something. They got that anti-rain.
I don't understand
blocker.
What that does. I mean, so I mean, it was an, I think someone texted me, an amateurish decision by him, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a poor decision.
Which it's Pat Mahomes, and it works, it's great. If it's not, then it's, right, like, I get it, but it was, you look at it, and you're like, there were three guys there, and they didn't need it. They had the timeouts, right? They had two, they just used one of the three timeouts. They still had two timeouts. There was no rush. We were good. We had the time. So that last drive showed Jordan Love's not a finished product yet.
Yeah, I mean, learning, but, right? You have to have those type of experiences. You have to have reps in those situations and able for you to learn from them. And so yesterday, I'm not mad at Jordan Love for making a poor decision, because you know what? This was the first time, like you said, he was in this situation and he made a mistake, but now moving forward, he knows as the pressure gets more tight, you can't make those decisions. Maybe run the ball, dump it off to Aaron Jones, but it's a learning experience.
All year, and maybe it's because we had the bet on Jordan Love to score those touchdowns, so maybe I'm warped and people will say I'm wrong in this. There were a lot of times this year in bigger spots where I felt like he didn't trust his legs. And he had to beat Boza in that spot. I understand. When you watched that, did you think he could have beat Boza?
Honestly,
on that corner?
When I initially watched it, I saw Aaron Jones kind of stumble and free himself up for a dump-off pass where he had some space. So I thought it was going to be that. I mean, he could have attempted to even get tackled. It was only third down, I believe. Third and two, was it?
Yeah. I mean, as I was watching that, I'm thinking, if Jordan Love gets the corner there, they're ready in field goal range, right?
I don't know. And what do you mean in field goal range? Your field goal kicker only can make it from 40 within.
Okay. They would have been there.
Been within 40?
Yeah. Did you see the open space if he had beaten him to the corner?
Craig, I'm gonna be honest. After they threw the interception, I basically turned the TV off, and so I saw one replay that I saw Aaron Jones and saw all the guys around, and then I haven't watched any type of TV since.
Yeah, I mean, that play, you know, the actual interception was first and 10. From the Packers 36.
That was first down. We had just gotten a third down.
Yeah,
okay.
Third and two.
Just gotten it.
Remember which Musgrave.
Musgrave, yeah.
I thought Musgrave was hurt. I didn't see him for like two quarters.
Tucker Kraft got hurt.
I'm
in
saying
that
Kraft
game.
Got hurt. Kraft got poked in the eye. No, they never said Musgrave got hurt, but I didn't see him for like about two quarters.
Huh.
And maybe I was just missing him. He was invisible for most of that game. Tucker Kraft was basically the guy who is not only blocking, but kept having targets, all that. So that was first and 10 at the 36. I may be exaggerating, but there was at least 20 yards if he beat Boza. Now, I don't know that he would have beat Boza, but if he did. And yeah, there's so many other choices there. But let's continue to get your thoughts. You can text us 800-990-3776. It's 800-990-ESPN, or give us a call. We are talking Packers, 49ers, and we are talking the 2023 Green Bay Packers season. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
I was young. I was surviving the times, waiting for my moment, I was destined to shine. Lil Ray had an NXX, I was hoping I'm next, wanting bracelets, never had a rope on my...
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Continuing to talk with you as we recap not just last night, but the entire Green Bay Packers season. It was a 24-21 loss to the San Francisco 49ers that ended it, but it was such an unreal run that got us to where we are. And Matt LaFleur is not above criticism. I get it. We can criticize his play call on third and one, fourth and one, whatever we want to do with that. But you look at, you know, November 23rd. Let's go back to November 19th, and I've been dismissive over that Chargers win all year, but obviously none of this happens without that win over the Chargers, 23-20. Chargers, in my mind, self-destructed a lot in that game, but the Packers did enough to win. Packers then, incredible performance at Detroit, incredible performance at home against the Chiefs. three bad performances, right? Giants, Buccaneers, and Panthers. They win one of the three. And then they show up big when it mattered the most against two division rivals, against the Dallas Cowboys, and then against the San Francisco 49ers, and end the season with a heartbreaking loss in the divisional round. 24-21 against the 49ers. 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. We know there's issues with the YouTube stream. Are we getting there? We fixed it yet? We still working on it? TBD. All right. Well, thanks for everyone who is giving us a heads up on the YouTube stream. I know I was trying to get in on the conversation during the break, and I was like, oh, okay. Oh, there we go. YouTube's alive. Huh. That's what I sound like? Who lets me be on the radio?
I think the same thing about myself, too.
How does anyone let me be on YouTube or on the radio? All right, we're back on YouTube. Sorry about that. We are back, and we're going. So your thoughts now, 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. So many places to go with this. One of the places no one wants to hear today, but I'm going to go to, is Aaron Jones. Like, can we look at what this guy just did over the last month plus? Can we look at him going toe-to-toe? Christian McCaffrey, 17 carries, 98 yards. Aaron Jones, 18 carries, 108 yards. Right? Oh, well, he didn't break the big plays like McCaffrey. McCaffrey's longest run, 39 yards. Aaron Jones, longest run, 53 yards. Aaron, 3 catches for 8 yards. McCaffrey, 7 catches for 30 yards. I mean, Aaron Jones went toe-to-toe with the best running back in the NFL, who everyone says is the best running back in the NFL, and showed he was every bit as good as the best running back in the NFL. What an incredible, incredible performance in Dallas. What a great run those last three regular season games, and what a great game for Aaron Jones in the biggest of big spots. I mean, that is unbelievably impressive for Aaron Jones. I mentioned we heard from Jason Wilde last night as late as 1 a.m. We are going to hear from him now in his normal spot as we continue. Jason Wilde joins us to talk Green Bay Packers. It is Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Oh, it is time to talk to Jason Wilde, who I heard up at 1 in the morning last night, and he's up with us this morning. Thanks for joining us, and good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys.
By the way, you could still jump in while we're talking to Jason. I know most people just want to listen when Jason's on, but if you do have questions or thoughts for Jason, 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. Jason, we've agreed way more than we've disagreed throughout this season in terms of what we thought the upside of the season was, what we thought the measuring stick of this season was, and I just sit back and I marvel at what this team accomplished to outplay the number one seed on its home field in a divisional playoff game, given what we thought coming into this season. And as annoyed as I am, as much as I could pick 16 different plays that if they'd gone different last night, like, we wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation today. This feels different to me than the Favre falling shorts, the Aaron Rodgers falling shorts in the last 7-8 years of each of their careers. This one just feels like it is as unexpectedly positive of a season for the Green Bay Packers since at least Don Majkowski, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we look back on the two quarterbacks you mentioned, they had similar, although not apples to apples, playoff moments of their own, right? That 1995 team goes to San Francisco, Chewy's on that team, and they go and beat the defending champs, right? And that was a win that announced that they were for real. But again, it wasn't the first year of them all being together, right?
Yep.
I mean, it was that team had been building. They'd won a playoff game in 93, and they'd won a playoff game in 94. So that's not exactly the same. Rodgers goes to Arizona in 09 for his first playoff game, and they light up the scoreboard. He throws a pick on his first NFL postseason pass, and he misses Greg Jennings on a deep ball at the end of the game in overtime when they could have gone and won the game.
And Jason, fumble, right? That game and that situation, I was thinking, you could argue, could have been a parallel if it both had happened the year before and if they had gone out and beat a team the caliber of the Cowboys the week before, right? That's how different that situation was than what we saw last night.
Yep, exactly. And so that was going to be my point, is that it wasn't Rodgers' first year as a starter. They had some experienced players around, and this is different than that as well. The difference between why this feels differently than the last 7 or 8 years of the other two quarterbacks' careers is that the arrow is pointing up as opposed to being flat or maybe even downturning, right? And in Favre's case, it took a downturn and then went back up when they unexpectedly had a run to the NFC Championship game in 07. They go 13-3 in Mike McCarthy's second season as coach. That was a surprising season, right? No doubt about it. But it's just different because of where Jordan Love and all these young pass catchers are. And the thing about it, you know, it's, you said 16 different plays that just go a different way and maybe we're having a different conversation. You're right, and that's, I think, what makes this so difficult. You could just feel it listening to these guys last night. I mean, yeah, that's great. We're the arrow's up, and we surprised a lot of people. I mean, those are their thoughts. But the bottom line is they had the number one seed on the ropes. And then in the final 6 minutes and change, everything that we either feared or that it happened earlier in the year and then ceased to occur, occurred, right? The missed field goal by Anders Carlson, 10th time in the last 12 games he missed at least one kick. Unlike all those other misses, he didn't get another kick because he had not missed back-to-back kicks this season. The defense, which had played very well for most of the game against one of the best offenses in the league, minus Deebo Samuel, 12 plays, 69 yards, looked really bad on the touchdown to McCaffrey on 3rd-and-1 where he runs through a gaping hole, and they take the lead. And then Jordan Love, who threw 21 touchdowns against one interception over the previous 9 games and knows the 3 commandments of Tom Clements, the quarterback's coach. Aaron Rodgers knows them. Brett Favre knows them. Jordan Love knows them. And on a play where he could have just thrown it away and lived to fight another day, he throws late across the middle, across his body, into 3 defenders trying to get the ball to Christian Watson, and their season is over. So what is disappointing, I think, and Packers fans can call 800-990-3776 and disagree, is that all the things that they had basically eliminated, other than Anders Carlson's inconsistency, cost them with the season on the line. And it's great that they're positioned the way they are, but they were in a great position yesterday, and there were just too many wasted opportunities from the red zone struggles to the dropped interceptions to the way the game ended.
Yeah, and it's when you look at the Jordan Love decision, just any sense of why he doesn't run more? It's one of the things I haven't figured out throughout the year. He seems very effective running, and there were, again, 3, 4, 5 times last night where it felt like he could have run 7, 8 yards and just chooses not to run. Is that intentional? Have they coached him? Did they feel like he he ran too much early. That was one of the things that drove me crazy throughout the year.
I think that that's Jordan Love and before him Aaron Rodgers' belief. You know, there are certainly quarterbacks that run to run and are very good at it, right? I mean, Lamar Jackson, if you look back early in Patrick Mahomes' career. But both Rodgers and Love, and I would argue Mahomes now at this point in his career, they run to create opportunities to throw the ball and to buy time to make off-schedule plays. And that's something that Jordan did really well all season, or at least during the second half of the season. And you're right, he does not run as frequently. I think he finished 12th in the league among quarterbacks in terms of rushing yards, which is not terrible, but it's certainly not to the degree of some of the other quarterbacks that run a lot more frequently. But I don't think that's him being coached that way. I think that is a philosophical thing that both he and his predecessor believe in. And it's worth pointing out that a lot of times it does work and it does lead to big plays.
Yeah, as we chat with Jason Wilde. So, Jason, when you think back to the 16-17, you know, some people are gravitating toward the missed field goal, the, you know, interception possibilities. Like, what's the play or plays that you look at that could, should have gone differently that would have changed the outcome of this game?
Well, those three are certainly on the list, right? The missed field goal, the dropped interception by Darnell Savage, who might have had another pick six like he had last week.
And everyone's been saying that. I didn't think, if you look from the other angle, it seemed like, yeah, I think it was Juszczyk was there and probably would have made a tackle there pretty quickly.
Yep, I agree. But, you know, maybe he makes a miss. Who knows, right? I mean, fullbacks are not the best tacklers. But, yes, I'm just saying the possibility is there. And at the very least, that interception would occur at midfield. So there's an opportunity there, right?
Yep.
Nixon has one that goes off his hands as well. But to me, and this is what Jordan Love said, and look, Jordan Love understands that the interception at the end was egregious, right? He knows better. And I think that's one of the reasons why this is disappointing, especially for those of us that were so blown away by how far he came and how quickly he got there, is that he knows better than to do that in that situation. And he did it anyway, and that just it's incongruous with what we'd seen from him over the previous 9 games. But the other thing he said, and this is where I agree, is if you're going to go in and beat the number one seed as a whatever they were on ESPN bet by kickoff, 10.5 point underdogs, you can't squander opportunities. And they had 3 red zone trips in the first half, and they had 2 field goals of 29 yards from Carlson, and then the 3rd and 4th down failures with Jones and Love, the Love shove that didn't work. I mean, they were in position to get more points. And when you think about those squandered opportunities, you don't think about them because of the way the game ended, because of the missed kick, because of the interception. But I think back to the 2014 NFC Championship game loss. And we never think about this because of the 16-0 lead that they squander and Brandon Bostic and all the things that go wrong there. But they had a chance to really take a commanding lead in the first half at Seattle, right? And they settled for field goals. They were the better team early, and they didn't take advantage. And that's exactly what happened last night. You can't have 6 points to show for 3 red zone trips against a team that you are trying to upset. And they had those opportunities, and they wasted them.
Let's talk to Greg, who's a firefighter. Thanks for your service. You're on Sunday Karma. Morning, Greg.
Good morning, guys. I just want to touch on, again, appreciate you guys being on today, therapy and all that. But, Jason, you had a really good point last night in the 1 a.m. hour with some drunken people next to you in the hotel you were at. You know, any objective Packer fan, hopefully by tomorrow morning, has to look back and say, what an incredible year, you know, 2-5 and 3-6 and getting to this point. And I had made the comment, regardless of the outcome, the future's bright, and it, you know, there's a lot of things to look forward to next year. But looking back all the way till 1998, and especially in 2014, you know, I was prepared. Hey, they're the better team. We lose, so be it. But this team just finds a new way to lose in the most gut-wrenching, soul-crushing mm-hmm. fashion in the playoffs. And I'm not certain if that's for every fan base or it's just because the Packers are close. But ever since being a little boy, it's like you try to prepare yourself, and there's a quote from the movie The Revenant by Leo DiCaprio, and it says, I'm not afraid of dying. I've already done it once. And that goes back to the 2014 game. But even last night, it's like it's just a gut punch. And no, I almost would have been completely content with just being like, hey, the Niners are the better team. We lose by 10-14, so it'll be a great year.
Right.
But to just have it so close, it just seemed like that. And maybe that's for many fan bases.
Well, and it's a good point. And so, Greg, I actually asked artificial intelligence to tell me what fan bases have had the worst losses over the last 10 years. And artificial intelligence actually came up with three others that weren't the Packers that have had a worse last 10 years of exits from the postseason. But if you just can't argue, there was no lead changes in any other postseason game up till that point, until last night. So no other team that lost in the postseason has played close to as well as the Green Bay Packers did this. So there's no argument that this is far and away the most painful loss of any team this year. I mean, Jason, right? I mean, every fan base has tough losses, but nothing compares to what the Packers went through last night compared to what any other team has seen this year.
No, I mean, you think about what they did against the number two seed and then the number one seed and where they're sitting with 6 minutes and 30 seconds left before Anders Carlson misses the field goal. Like, I don't know about you, but I look at that and say that is nearly 120 minutes of unbelievable playoff football by a team that was the youngest in the league with a first-year starter, all the things we talked about all year. And here they are with the number one seed on the ropes. I mean, and as you said, there were four lead changes, and they were all, I believe, all there were four lead changes in the second half, right? Three in the third quarter alone. The problem for me, and I think Greg's point, you know, I was there in San Francisco for T.O.'s catch. I was there in Philadelphia for 4th and 26. I was there in Seattle for the 2014 NFC Championship game. I have some friends in Minnesota who were texting me because I had made a comment about how, God, Packers fans, just their hearts get broken in the most cruel ways. And they were basically like, look, you guys at least won two Super Bowls with your great quarterbacks. We break hearts. I mean, look at the Vikings' history. They don't have any of the good stuff on the other side. Right.
The Bears would die to have their hearts broken, you know, in all of these ways. And, you know, and the Saints, you know, there's, you look at the way the Saints have lost, and, you know, they've lost in some of the craziest, most tragic ways. But I'm with you, Jason and Greg. I mean, those two last, I mean, the home loss to the 49ers, who were terrible, who came in and won and blocked the punt when they had no offense. And then losing at home to Brady when you had the one, you know, you had the one seed, you were going to be home field. I mean, all of these are, I mean, it's like a pylon, Greg, right? It's like you just can't imagine, right?
Arizona, you know, with Jeff Janis and that amazing comeback. And, you know, Jason brought it up, and now I'm going to have a relapse because 4th and 26, I had tried to block that out of my mind for 20 years, but here we are again.
Oh,
but yeah, it's just, yeah, I forgot about that one. Now I'll need a drink this morning.
Save one for me, Greg.
Thanks for the call, Greg. Yeah. I mean, Jason, 82.5% chance for the Packers to win. Up 21-17, 1st and 5. They had 1st and 5 at the San Francisco 32. That's what it says here. I don't remember how they got it to 1st and 5. Was there a...
offside.
Yeah, there was an offsides penalty, but that was after the 53-yard run by Aaron Jones, which was enormous.
So then,
to put them in that position.
So 1st and 5, 8:32 to go at San Francisco 32, 82.5% chance to win. 82.5% is 7, 87.5 is 7 out of 8, but it's basically 7 out of 8 times you win that game in that spot. So it's not just Carlson missing the field goal. It's going from first and five at the 32 to having to kick a field goal, then missing it, then letting him come down, then not being able to get points. I mean, that is, a like you said, everything had to go wrong from that point. 82.5% chance to win at that point.
Right, and what's disappointing for Greg and everyone else that is trying to cope this morning with their frustrations and their disappointment is that, again, their defense, kind of like the San Francisco game in 2021, except it wasn't as good of an offense that they did it to. But remember, that defense pretty much owned the game, right? I mean, the 49ers, their only touchdown in the game that they win 13-10 is the blocked punt. I mean, that's it. And so for the entire game, that defense is getting the job done. And then with the game tied at 10 and the game on the line, they missed Deebo Samuel on a 3rd and 7 when two guys that had missed most of the season, Za'Darius Smith and Jaire Alexander, make half-hearted attempts.
Right. Well, Jason, that 49ers game, and it's not for today, that 49ers loss to Jimmy G and that team reminds me of how LaFleur played a lot of this season before he trusted the offense.
Yep.
Where it was like, you know what? We don't need to throw the playbook at the 49ers because they can't score on us and we're going to win as long as, like, we just don't do anything bad. And the special teams had been the problem the whole year, and then the special teams bit them that day.
Right.
And yesterday, again, I know your point is, hey, the things that were the problem all year end up biting them again. All right, we'll continue more with Jason Wilde as we roll on. You can jump in like Greg just did as we chat with Jason Wilde. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Take the bass line out. Uh-huh. Jiggle. Uh-huh.
Bounce with it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Let it bump, though. From standing on the corners bopping to driving some of the hottest cars New Yorkers ever seen.
Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Continuing with Jason Wilde, you can jump in on the conversation, 800-990-3776, 800-990-ESPN. Kyle jumped all over the field goal kicker when this show started today, Jason, and just want to get into a little what you discussed last night about the Tom Rinaldi report on, you know, Matt LaFleur saying that he just prays when his kicker goes out there. Is that something Matt LaFleur has been saying for weeks now? Like, what, you know, Rinaldi kind of dropped that in, and that was an interesting thing to hear a coach say about his kicker.
For a really long time, he was great at ESPN. He does a great job at Fox. I could never be an effective sideline reporter, so I don't want to be too harsh in my criticism, not knowing the entire story. But that is not something that at any point Matt LaFleur has said publicly at all. And I guess I don't always understand the ground rules of those production meetings. So for those folks that don't know about this, I don't want to assume everyone understands it. So before every game, the NFL's television broadcast partners, whoever's doing the game, the play-by-play, the color, and the sideline reporter, sit down with a few people from each team. So in the Packers case, I'm sure it was Jones, Love, LaFleur, and probably someone on defense. And they basically, it's not recorded, it's not for broadcast, but it's to get background and to understand exactly, you know, some things that they can then be insightful when they're doing the broadcast. And I'll be honest, I did this with Rodgers a lot, and I never attached it to his name, but it made me sound more plugged in. If you listen to Tausch and I throughout his summer or off season of discontent after the 2020 season, that's because Tausch and I both talked to him a lot, and we knew exactly what was coming from his camp, and so we were able to kind of give people insight without
frankly, burning him and saying, Aaron Rodgers told me. And so if LaFleur said that, it was certainly not intended to be quoted on the telecast. I would think, and again, I don't know, but Tom Rinaldi said he basically said he prays every time he goes out there. And we all can agree that's a terrible look, because that is an admission that they probably shouldn't have had a rookie kicker once the stakes became what they did. And they could have easily said, look, we believe in you as our long-term kicker, but we're going to go get Mason Crosby late in the year, whatever it might have been. They didn't do that, and it cost them last night. And so for him to report that and to attach it to LaFleur, when we talk to LaFleur, which I think will be tomorrow, he's going to get asked about it, and he's going to be pissed, just like he was when I asked him about Buck and Aikman saying that he had compared Dontavion Wicks to Devontae Adams. Because, again, those are things that you say, you know, you say it as on the telecast. There's a feeling on the Packers sideline sometimes when Anders Carlson goes out there that all they can do is pray. And, or, hey, there's a feeling within the Packers organization that while Dontavion Wicks has a long way to go, there are aspects of his game that remind guys on this team of Devontae Adams. And that way you insulate the person who said it, because it's not supposed to be on the record. So for him to then miss that kick and for this team to lose after a comment like that, that's the stuff that gets everyone aggregating it. I had this happen when I said to Homer, you guys remember this last December, I said, look, in my conversation with Jordan Love, he never said it, but I get the feeling that if Rodgers comes back for another year, he's going to ask for a trade, because he does not want to sit for a fourth season. Now, that was 100% true, and it would have been accurate, but then it became Jordan Love says he's going to seek a trade, which is not what he'd said. So these are the types of little nuances, and Tausch will tease me because I love nuance and specificity, but this is a big honking deal now, and now Matt LaFleur is going to have to manage it, because they're not going to give up on Anders Carlson. Now, maybe they'll bring in competition for him in the offseason, but now it's out there that he was basically praying when Anders Carlson would go out and kick. And you don't want your players thinking you don't have confidence in them.
Yeah, as we chat with Jason Wilde, 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. Joe Barry was a big part of the narrative of why this team wasn't playing as well as fans thought they should. I think it was Rob Domofsky. I don't want to aggregate him, who had said he didn't expect him to be back at the end of this season. I don't know how any – I know I'm getting all these people saying how bad he was last night. I look at how they played against the Cowboys and the 49ers, and – I don't know how you don't bring back that defensive coordinator who just did that. Kyle, be on the mic when you're yelling at me.
I'm tired of you sitting here. You're talking about Anders Carlson not being the one that we should be upset with a little bit from last night. Now you're kind of singing the praises of Joe Barry. No, it's all about upgrades, Craig. Let's not find reasons to pat people on the back when at the end of the day you get evaluated over a full season. Joe Barry did a tremendous job in the playoffs, but we can do better. You should always be looking at upgrades.
If there's an upgrade, I'm all for it.
I dreamed there was an upgrade.
I'm all for it, but you, I mean, Kyle, are you mad at how that defense looked over the last month?
I'm not mad about how the defense looked in the last four games that we played, but at the end of the day, it still takes a full season, and I just feel like we can find somebody better. I hope we can find somebody better than Joe Barry, but I do applaud the effort that this team put in, and I applaud the game plan and scheme that he put in, and we found some successes, but I don't know. He has not proven that he can do it over a complete season. It's not just on him. It's also on the players.
Jason, what's your take on what this defense is right now and what they were, you know, last night?
Well, I don't think what they did down the stretch of the regular season is super impressive. You know, they obviously collapsed during the fourth quarter against the Panthers, who then the following 2 weeks, I believe, got shut out
yes.
in back-to-back games.
Yes.
So that's not great.
Justin Fields, they pressured him the seventh most of any defense pressuring any quarterback in this entire NFL season.
Yeah. What they did in Minnesota, it was impressive, but I graded on a curve.
Yeah, that wasn't a real.
This,
like credible starting quarterback.
Kevin O'Connell, right. Kevin O'Connell lost that game as soon as he named his rookie fifth round pick the starting quarterback for that week. And I, again, I've said this before, I really, really like everything about Justin Fields, except I don't know if he's good enough at throwing the football, which is part of that. He's a great athlete. He's a great leader. He's a great teammate. He runs the ball extremely effectively. He's capable of, at times, throwing the ball well. But I don't think in a 17-9 game, which was a one-score game, touchdown and two-point conversion, you ever felt like the Bears were going to come down and tie the game or win the game. And so, yes, they did a good job against him. To me, what they did for three quarters last night and what they did, you know, for three and a half quarters in Dallas, once they were up 48-16, they obviously are allowing yards, keeping everything in front of them. I think those were the two things that you say, okay, we have to at least consider the idea of Joe Barry staying and having earned the right to continue in this job. Here's the problem that I have with that. When Matt LaFleur says he is going to be more involved on the defensive side of the ball, which he did after the Tampa Bay game, after saying that he was not, if it was the right decision, you know, he would have fired Joe Barry. He didn't believe it was the right decision. For him to get more involved defensively as the offensive play caller with everything that is on his plate, look, these offensive play callers, going back to Mike Holmgren with Fritz Schirmer, they want a head coach for the defense. They don't want to have to deal with it, right? They want a guy that they can flat out trust to make the right decisions all the time. You're not going to win every game. And that indicated to me that Matt LaFleur does not feel that about Joe Barry. And now, he said they were fantastic last night at midweek. He said he couldn't be happier with what they did defensively. So the bad news I have for Kyle is those are the kinds of things you say if you have changed your tune about the guy you were contemplating firing a month ago. And that could mean that he has, in fact, saved his job. I think the key is if he comes back, Kyle, much to your chagrin, he has to understand the importance of being more aggressive and being more creative. Now, I do think it's also important to point out that last night they played a ton of zone coverage. Now, they didn't have Deebo Samuel to deal with, and maybe things are a little bit different after he leaves with the shoulder injury. But their zone coverage, which they got eaten alive a lot of times during the season, was on point for most of the night. And the one touchdown to Kittle is where they're playing man coverage.
So and not
coverage
just
isn't always a solution.
But not just man coverage. It seemed like to me man coverage where he had everyone in the right spot and one player made a decision to go up to Ayuk and, you know, and not play safety, like, which was his job.
I just saw that. I have Game Day Morning on the NFL Network on this morning, and Kurt Warner was breaking down that play, and there were two plays where I think it's Jonathan Owens in both cases, but I have to go back and look.
Oh, I thought there was, is it 36 cases, Johnson? What, yeah.
Anthony Johnson.
Yeah, it was Johnson. It was Johnson.
Again, young player playing in a sub package, making crucial mistakes. That is also what happens in this league. But yeah, those, again, I mean, I think, and Tausch, I got to give Tausch credit for this because he's right. I think defensive coordinator is the most thankless job at 1265 Lombardi Avenue because you have all these great quarterbacks. Now it looks like you've got a really good one. I'm not going to say great yet, but a really good one. And the defense just never measures up, no matter what they do, right? Dom Capers had a great year in 2010. They were top five in points, top five in yards. They won a Super Bowl. And by the end of a 15-1 season, everybody's pissed at Dom Capers because their defense wasn't good enough.
Yeah, like, but come on, Jason. Can't we say that this game last night, you know, if you had to say who it was on, it's, you could say the special teams, although because of the return by Nixon and the blocked field goal by the Packers. I mean, everyone's making such a big deal the missed field goal by Carlson. Both teams had a field goal they should have made. I mean, to me, this game was on the offense. It was not scoring more than 6 points in three red zone appearances. It was two turnovers that, you know, that you can't afford to have. And I mean, to me, it was the offense losing, which is a shame because the offense has been so good. But if I'm going to put this on one unit, it's not on the defense and it's not on the special teams. It's on the offense.
Yeah. And if the defensive coordinator was Joe Wallace and he was a new first year coordinator,
Is that Kyle's brother? Because Kyle's going to have Joe's cousin, back if that's Joe
cousin.
Wallace.
Yeah, cousin.
Okay, cousin.
Yeah, cousin. We would have. Would we be calling for his job? I don't think so. Not after a game like this, right? Not after what he did to the Cowboys. So it's maybe some of the PTSD of the way his defense has struggled in a ton of other games. There's no doubt about it. But again, even going back to the other 49ers game that they lost in the postseason in 2021, I still think it was a mistake to play two guys that hadn't played all season and expect them to play well. And they both screwed up on the most crucial defensive play of the game. In that one, 3rd and 7, Deebo Samuel gets first down, they kick the field goal, they lose. But they did what they were supposed to do in that playoff game.
But by the way, people who are critical of LaFleur and play calling and things from last night, I mean, I look at that last drive for the 49ers of the first half. I mean, they were so conservative. I mean, Packers fans would have been killing LaFleur. I mean, the 49ers should have had a touchdown drive on that last drive of the first half. They settled for the field goal, which ends up getting blocked. I mean, LaFleur out-coached Shanahan to me left and right last night. I mean, this really was a few empty possessions that are just inexplicable.
Yeah, and on top of all that, I mean, if we look back on how Matt LaFleur called games early in the year, and I wrote about this, Tausch and I talked about it a lot. You know, he finally told Jordan Love to let it rip throwing the football, but he also let it rip as a play caller. I thought that there were tons of moments in that game where it looked like Matt LaFleur had way more confidence in his quarterback than Kyle Shanahan had in his.
Absolutely.
And so I agree with that, you know, view of Kyle Shanahan's conservative approach. The bottom line is the plays were there to be made in all three phases, right? I mean, the field goal, 41 yards at this point in the NFL should be largely automatic. Unfortunately, it was not last night.
And it wasn't for this season, right? I mean, that's a 50% kick for Carlson, right?
Right. And I've said this a bunch, and Bisaccia got mad at me when I said it originally, but I'm fine with that. Like, I personally believe, and look, it worked out great with Mason Crosby, although he struggled his rookie year at times as well. I would rather have a kicker who goes and works out all of his inconsistencies as a young kicker and then figures it out, because it takes time to figure out how to kick in the NFL. I would rather have them do that with someone else and then get him once he's figured it out than go through all these growing pains, which obviously last night cost him. But he misses the field goal. The defense, with a chance to make a statement, that drive, there were opportunities to put a stop to it, right? Especially after Kittle drops the third down pass. Ayuk makes an outstanding catch across the middle. Then they lose contain on a guy that had three catches all season in Conley for the 17-yard gain.
And I heard you say at 1 in the morning last night that for those who want to criticize the defensive coordinator, that was like the one play of the game that felt like the Carolina Panthers and all those games where the defense was horrible. And I was with you. That play felt bad, but, I mean, there's going to be plays over the course of a game.
Right. The other guys get paid too. And then,
by the way, that IU catch, we have not talked enough about that, right? I mean, that was sick. I mean, it was like a tiny window that he got his hands under it, like all of that. Like, yeah. I mean, it was Kyle, right? I mean, that IU catch.
I mean, momentum going a different direction, had to turn his body. It was a great catch pulling it up.
Talking about the one where he had to reach back and catch it from his toes.
That's also a great catch.
Which was a great catch. Yeah. I'm talking about the one where he dove outstretched, and there was no window, and it got in there, and he got his arms under it at the same time he was catching the ball.
There was a lot of great catches on that final drive
by the 49ers. They pushed it through for them. They really did.
Yeah, and your cousin didn't get it done as the coordinator. But look, I think, and I know we got to go, but to me the bottom line is, and I believe that Jordan Love is one of the reasons why I like him so much. I believe Jordan Love would, I don't know if we're going to talk to him tomorrow at locker room clean out or what, but I believe he would say, hey, it's on me. I cannot make that mistake in that situation. I know better than that. I can't. Like, he has every opportunity. He's outside the pocket. Throw it into the bench and live to fight another day. Instead, late, over the middle, across your body, three defenders closing in on a wounded duck that is not going to get to Christian Watson, even if it's a better throw.
Beat Joey Bosa one-on-one.
He knows better than that.
Beat Joey Bosa one-on-one. Why is it not possible? I know he's not a run-first guy, but he's when he's done it, like, I don't get why that's not an option also.
Yep.
Well, throw it out of bounds or cut back.
Right, run out of bounds.
It's wet. The 49ers are slipping all over. Cut back, and maybe Bosa falls, and you run for 20 yards. Like, I mean, there are a lot of different options that could have gone, and that's kind of how we started, 16 different plays that could have gone the other way. You know, Ayuk, you could have throw some of those catches, not just the plays the Packers didn't make, the plays that the 49ers did make. It'll be a full offseason to talk about it all, but I can guarantee you this, Jason. This is you had said coming into this year, you were more excited to cover this team than any in your history. And I mean, you, in all of your scenarios that you had, this wasn't one of them, was it?
No. And it was so much fun. I mean, you know, I say this all the time. People don't understand it. I get that, but I am not a fan. My job to chronicle the journey, but boy, is it fun when the journey is so fascinating and so full of ups and downs and twists and turns. This is what you do this job for. This is why I love talking to Tausch every day. It's why I've loved writing for as long as I have. This team delivered in a huge, huge way. They were 2-5. And there, I had colleagues on the beat talking about how, well, I guess we're going to start working on mock draft stories and who the Packers would take if they end up third in the draft, or could they get the number one overall pick? I mean, think about those conversations after that Minnesota game when they lost and they got booed off the field and Jordan Love looked completely out of sorts. For them to have been where they were, this doesn't change the disappointment. I get it. I feel that. I understand why fans are disappointed, because they had it in front of them. They should be in the NFC Championship game next Sunday. I get it. But to me, the biggest thing was this was a fact-finding mission to figure out if Jordan Love was good enough to be the guy. Not only did we find that out, but you came within 6 minutes of playing for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And I would have never imagined that. They were rebuilding this year. I don't care what Goody says. You don't trade Rasul Douglas. You don't play all these young guys. You don't have a rookie kicker if you think you are a team that can contend to be in the NFC Championship game. They were rebuilding. That doesn't mean tanking. That means rebuilding. And in a rebuilding year, they put themselves in position to potentially play in a Super Bowl? I'm sorry, but of all the seasons I've covered, there have been more unexpected, exciting moments, and there were other seasons where there were some of those, but nothing to this degree. I hope fans, after the disappointment wears off, Kyle, you can appreciate that, because it was a hell of a year.
Yeah, and that would be such a great way to let you go out, but I got to ask you real quick. So what is everyone's status now? What's Mark Murphy's status? What's Goody's status? And what's LaFleur's status? Because I think, like, we see this young team that's going to grow together and all that, but isn't Mark Murphy, like, at retirement age? Like, what happens now? How does this work from a big picture, you know, organizational standpoint?
He's got another year. He gets to the required retirement age in July of 2025. So again, when there were folks that thought when they were 2-5 that LaFleur was going to get fired, I never believed that. I thought Murphy would say, look, we knew it was going to be a tough year. We had all these young guys. Goody and LaFleur had just signed contract extensions last year. They were not going to fire those guys. Obviously it sounds preposterous that we're even having that conversation now after what we've seen, but they're both under contract. They both signed 5-year extensions, I believe. The one person whose contract I do not know about, and Tausch apparently heard this from someone and he's been stating it as fact, and I need to confirm it, is that Joe Barry was in the last year of his contract. I want to be very clear. I don't know that. I don't know that. But whether or not they're able to actually do that.
But just to go back on Murphy, does Murphy need whoever's replacing him to be with him for a full year, or like to kind of oversee things, or will it be like, oh, we're coming up on July, we might just hire someone next offseason? Like, is that a thing?
I think it's after maybe training camp starts.
Because this is like the team getting sold on some levels, right? I mean, this is the closest thing we have to an owner of the Packers. So this is a big deal when Mark Murphy transitions out.
Deal.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the biggest thing that's going to happen high level, right? We know the quarterback, we know the coach, we know the GM. It's almost like this team in the next 6 months is getting sold, and we don't know who it's getting sold to in some ways.
We have a pretty good, I will be very surprised if Ed Policy is not the team president after this. Like he comes from obviously a bloodline of leadership with his dad, Carmen, in San Francisco. He's been the right-hand man to Murphy for a long time. They will go through the process, but I would think he is the very clear-cut heir apparent. Doesn't guarantee anything. I want to be very clear. But I think he is the expected next guy, which makes it a little different of a dynamic. But you're right. Everything else appears set.
But, and by the way, Jason, at 6-11, not making the playoffs and all that, it's a lot harder for Murphy to sell the board, hey, we're in the right direction. Let's keep this going with my guy Policy. Now, this team clearly seems to be in the right direction. If that is what he and senior members of the organization think, that to me would feel like a very easy sell right now when you look at the track record during Mark Murphy's time leading this organization.
Right. But you still, there are things, I mean, a different person may have different ideas still, right? Whether it's Ed Policy or someone else, like maybe they decide, look, I don't like the structure here.
Yep.
I don't think it's effective. Right. So there are potential changes looming. I don't want to downplay that, but this is a franchise that obviously believes in continuity, and that would certainly make sense. But again, we're still what, 18 months away from the actual changing of the guard there.
Yep. All right. Well, Jason, incredible, incredible stuff. Appreciate you joining us and look forward to hearing you and Tausch go through the game play by play tomorrow on Wilde and Tausch.
All right, we'll do. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
There he is, Jason Wilde, at Jason J. Wilde, to follow him on Twitter. Kyle, thoughts?
I'm still sad.
Yeah.
Just sad.
Yeah. Don't be sad it ended. Be happy that it all happened.
What movie is that from?
I don't know. It's on something, you know. I don't know.
Don't you wish you were living in a good day, good old days? When you were in the good old days, was that how the line goes off The Office?
I don't know. But I mean, Kyle, the pain is so real because they outplayed the 49ers last night. They legitimately, like, if you had told me that game was going to be 30-7, 49ers are going to win, I would have been a little surprised, but I would have been like, you know what? I could see that. 49ers are that good, and I know they look that good against the Cowboys, but the Packers are young, man. They go on the road. If that's just too much, if the pass rush overwhelms Love, he throws a few turnovers, like, I would not have been shocked if they had lost 30-7. And they go
I would
in,
have.
And they go in there and outplay them.
Still lose.
For 56 minutes. 54 minutes. I don't know. I mean, that is a hard one to swallow. Talking more about it with you. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.